So we're going to start with the first name. The first name is Allah. So some people say that this is the greatest of the names, what we call Ismul A'zam. So there is one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is called the great name, that if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the grand name, your du'as are accepted. And this comes in Sharh of Sunan Ibn Majah, that from the blessed names of Allah, there are some names which have a distinct virtue or quality, that if a du'a is made using these words, the supplication is mustajab. And they are called Ismul A'zam. And so you look at the different narrations, and there's a lot of discussion among scholars, because you have one narration, Rasulullah is saying it's in this surah, and you have another narration, it's like in this, and you try to they don't necessarily overlap, and you try to reconcile it. But the main idea is that if you look at the Prophet's predecessors, they would actually seek this name. Right? They would try to find out what is Ismul A'zam. And there's a story of Yusuf ibn Hussein. And there's a story that there was a very great wali of Allah by the name of Dhunnun Misri. And he had knowledge of the Ism A'zam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this as a gift. And this is part of ma'rifah. Right? When you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this. So he says that, Yusuf ibn Hussein, he says, I was eager to know what the great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. I found out that Dhunnun knows it. So he traveled all the way to Egypt, and he went to Hazrat Dhunnun, and he said, I spent 1 year in his khidmah. And after that, he said, Ustaz, right? He said, I've served you, and because I've done so much khidmah, I'm asking you one thing. I said that you know Ism A'zam, and I'm certain that you've not found anyone who deserves to be informed by this name more, you deserve to tell this name more than to me. So can you just tell me what Ism A'zam is? And so Dhunnun, rahimullah, he stayed quiet for a long time. And when he was quiet, he said, okay, he's going to tell me soon. Right? And he said, but then he didn't push it, and he actually made khidmah for another 6 months. And the idea just that people cared enough that they would take a year and a half out of their life just to find Ism A'zam. And so maybe he was right. Maybe no one else had that much talab and deserved more to know him. So then he said that, okay. He said, I have a friend in Qustat. And he said that, and he lived in Jazeera. So he said that, I have one final task or something for you. I have a task for you. He says, yeah, I have this dish. I want you to take this dish and take it to and deliver it to my friend in Qustat. And he said, okay, I'll take it. So he said, I was taking the dish, and along the way, I got curious. I was like, I wonder what he's sending to his friend. So his curiosity started going more, and this curiosity killed the cat, right? So he just kept on getting more and more curious. He couldn't take it anymore. So he opens it up, and he looks inside, and when he opens it up, a mouse jumps out, and it runs off. So he comes back to Sheikh Dhunnun, and he says, and Sheikh Dhunnun said, he knew what had happened. And then he said that, ya jahil. He said, you're such a dahil. I trusted you with one dish to take to my friend, and you can keep the amana of that. Do you think I'm going to entrust you with the name of Ism A'zam? So this was not a light thing, right? This was a big deal. One of the opinions of the scholars is that this is the name, the Ism A'zam is Allah. And there's other ones like Allah, it's in like Ayatul Kursi, so on and so forth. When you add Hayyun Qayyum to it. Bayezid Bustami, one of the great saints in Islamic history, has a very deep statement with regards to Ism A'zam. And his opinion actually really struck me, because when he said that basically Ism A'zam is not something which is specified. And actually, when you look at it from this perspective, all the other narrations sort of fall right into place. He said, it's not like you have one Ism A'zam. He said, any name that you call Allah when you're mustagri' fi ma'rifatillah, you're drowning in the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that name is Ism A'zam. It's reflective of the state of the person. This is the secret to have Ism A'zam, to have that true connection with Allah, and the rest is details. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us a great blessing by teaching us this particular name, right? Allah. Because if we didn't know this name, we would know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, or what He is, but not who He is. Right? I mean, you could say, oh, He's such a beautiful being. Imagine living with your wife, right? You know everything about your wife, but you don't know your wife's name. Very awkward. Right? How do you call her? Oh, beautiful one. Oh, nice one. Come, oh, person I've married yesterday, 5 years ago, please come here. I mean, it would be very awkward. So if we knew all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we didn't know the word Allah, then how would you say, Ya Allah? It's a big gift. And this is, they say, one of the highest name, because all the other names and characteristics are included in this name. When you say Allah, you're also referring to all the other 99 names. All of that is automatically included within this name. And it refers to that being that's wajibul wujud, who has a necessary existence, necessary and independent existence. There's all other existences are predicated and contingent upon the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not contingent, and it is independent of any other existence. Right? This is sort of like the idea that, you know, the Imam Sahib had read yesterday, what said, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Have they been created from nothing? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. And so we know that something cannot come into existence from nothing, right? And we also know أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, or are they the creator? So if they're the creator, then they had to create themselves, that which would mean that they had to bring themselves out of nothing into something, which means they had to be something, but you can't be something and nothing at the same time. So it becomes like a very problematic issue. And it's a very tight argument, actually. Logically, so the idea, the way that we get around that is with this concept of wajib al-wujud, is this independent existence that exists outside the concept of time. So people keep on saying, some people say that, okay, everything came from something, and then if that came from something, then that came from something before it, and that came from something before it. So eventually, when the first thing that was, where did that thing come from? Right? Where did Allah come from? So there's a problem with this, and the problem with this is when you start talking about something coming from something else, this idea of causality is predicated on a conception of time. You can't have cause and effect until you determine some type of vector of temporality, one direction or another. It can't exist because you need directionality. So if you're talking about that, then you require time. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists outside of time, then He's not confined by the rules of time. He's created time, right? He created time Himself, so He's not confined by it. This name, Allah, should only be directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, because in reality, there's nothing else like Him. And this is how, you know, we start out the recitation of the Qur'an, right? We don't say Bismi with anything else, we say Bismil. So we start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know Him, first and foremost. Rasulullah would always start his correspondences with this particular name. And you'd see the ulama who started their books, they also started with the name of Allah. كُلُّ عَمَلٍ لَمْ يَبْدَأْ بِاسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَجْزَمُ فِي رِوَايَةٍ فَهُوَ أَفْتَأُ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Any matter that doesn't begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's cut off from barakah. And we know that the day of judgment will not come as long as there's someone on the earth that is saying Allah, Allah. Right? And this is one of the hadiths that establishes the permissibility of making zikr with the name of, because Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he doesn't agree with I believe it was him or Ibn Taymiyyah that said that they weren't comfortable with the idea of person making zikr of just the name Allah, like repeating saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And the people who go towards permissibility in this riwayah in Bukhari, Muslim, Ahmad, Abdul Razzaq, is this one. So they said that the day of judgment will not come as long as someone on earth is saying Allah, Allah. Right, so over here you see repetition of the word Allah, Allah. So if you can say Allah, Allah, then you can say Allah, Allah. Okay, Allah, 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 Allah. You can keep on going. The next discussion that arises here is what is the name Allah comprised of? Meaning, is it a jamd or is it mushtaq? Right? Is this just a name that's the name of God? Or is it something that linguistically is derived from something else? Right, so, I mean, if you've studied language, you know that a lot of the words in English have, you know, Latin roots, and they have Greek roots. And sometimes when you understand the roots, then you understand what the implications are on the meaning. And so in Arabic, there's a lot of words. There's a lot of words which are mushtaq. You know, you look at, for example, Muslim, right? It comes from the root letter sin, lam, mim, which means peace. Aslama yuslimu is to put something into a state of peace. Muslim is a person who puts themselves into a state of peace or who surrenders. Right? Silm is also to surrender. So you see implications of the initial root letters coming. And so you can say muslimun, you can say muslimani, you can say muslimuna, you can say muslimatun, so on and so forth. You can say salim, salimuna. You know, there's so many different permutations that you can make from that. But all of these are mushtaqat, they're all derived. So the discussion arises, and it's sort of, you know, tempting if you just look at it on the surface to do this, that is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala derived. So what's the word for God in Arabic? Ilah, right? So you say ilah, and maybe you can put an al in front of it, right? Al means the, so al ilah, that became Allah. So some, you know, that's one thing that is this, but Imam Qurtubi says this is not a correct opinion. Because if it really was like that, right, if it was derived in that sense, what happens is when you put on the vocative particle, right, when you say, for example, yeah something, the rules of grammar require that the alif lam drops. So if you say like ar-Rahim, so you don't say ya ar-Rahim, that's the wrong way. You say ya rahimu. Right? The alif lam drops, but you don't keep the tanween either. You say ya rahimu, you say ya rahmanu, ya wadudu, ya ghafuru, ya ghafaru. But when you say ya Allahu, you don't say ya ilahu, you say ya Allahu. So that indicates already that this alif lam is not extra, it's actually part of the word intrinsically. Now Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he says that, I mean, there's a lot of discussion. I mean, there's pages and pages of people who go into different derivations of where this comes from. For example, Ibn Abbas, he says that the name derives from something that you run towards you when something happens to you. Right? Like say something shocks you, you're scared. You know how you get a child gets scared and they run to their mom? It has the same root letters. So you could use that, and this is where this comes from. Because when the slave gets shocked, that's when they turn to Allah. There's a story about, you know, there was a generation that was raised atheist under a communist regime. And they had these black box recording of these, you know, KGB air fighters or whatever, or these communist air fighters, that when their planes are shot and they're going down, right, and they're systematically deprogrammed against God, and they get shot and their plane's going down and they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, I mean, it's programmed into a person. When you're in a tight spot, you just call Allah. I mean, Cat Stevens, he's like, you know, going out into the thing and he just called out Allah. This is the nature of the human being. You know, some people say that it comes from walaha yalahu. So walaha yalahu is to love something intensely. Or from alaha ya'lahu, ala idha tahayyara, that's something that confounds you, right? Amazes you, makes you awestruck. And that's how Allah is, that He inspires awe. Or for example, another opinion is from laha yaluhu, for something to be high. There's nothing as high as Allah. Some people say it's like from when you say alahtu bil makan, yani aqamtu, that I, you know, establish myself in a certain place. And there's many others. You know, Imam Ghazali, rahimullah, his opinion on this is that this is al ta'assuf. This is, you know, this is takalluf. This is just the name of Allah. It's not mushtaq. This is His proper name. It's just your name. So certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you can use for other people, and other names can only be used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, so let's see, Ar-Rahman, can this name be used for other people? What do you think? Can you call someone Rahman? No, you can't call Qulid Allah Awid Rahman. This is khas with Allah. So you can call a person Abdul Rahman, but you can't call him Rahman. How about Rahim? Actually, Rahim, you can't call someone else. It's not khas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this referring to the Prophet, right? Azizun alayhi ma'anittum, harisun alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahima. So the Prophet alayhi salam, he's described as being Rahim. How about Rab? So people who know Arabic, they'll know that they use the word Rab obviously for Allah, but they also use it for like the, you know, the mother is Rabbatu Bayti. Right? This like smallness, she's a little kid's Ummi Rabbatu Bayti ma ahlaha, how beautiful she is. I mean, the kids sing these type of things. This is Rabbul Bayt, you know, the person of the house. Of course, in each one of these things, we don't, when we say Rab, you're not saying like Rab, Rab. You're saying like, you use it nisbatan, you know. For example, Razik, right? The person who gives the risk. The true person who gives risk is Allah, but you can call a person Razik, or Khayru Raziqeen. He's the best of the people who give risk. I mean, other people are referred to as giving risk here. So there are some names which are khas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghani. Right? Ghani can be used for other people. You can say, Huwa Ghani, he is rich. But Al-Ghani is only Allah. So one of the names which are only for Allah is this word itself, Allah. And there's no word that is more sweet in any language other than the word of Allah. And the more that you mention it, the more for your love, the more your love for Him will increase. Until basically it erases all other loves from the heart. It's like the magic eraser that you keep on repeating, and it keeps on erasing everything else. It has this power. You recite it in your heart, you recite it in your prayers, you recite other places, and you keep on doing dhikr of Allah, it will make you forget the dunya. When the name Allah is mentioned, it should have some type of impact, you know, upon us. It comes in one verse of the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And in other words, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Right? وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts tremble. And actually, I mean, you look at some of the pious predecessors, and I've met more than one person like this, that who practice making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, that you can actually audibly hear the name Allah, Allah, Allah coming from their heart. And I've met more than one person like that in my life. It's from different independent sources. It wasn't like some setup. It's just like you meet them and they say, yeah, I used to sit with my sheikh. And sometimes you would just hear Allah, Allah, you know. And just because they would make that much zikr, right? I mean, you look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his heart was, it was like a mirjan. You know, there was like, it was like something that was bubbling inside. And this idea of wajilat, the shaking, there's actually some of the people who are on the spiritual path, they actually experience a physical shaking of the heart, right? And this is this quickening that occurs until the heart becomes activated. It's like a sort of like a flutter. I don't know how else to explain it. And people who experience it, they experience it. So, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. This was sort of one of the characteristics that the name of Allah is very powerful. There was one time a person came and he was like bounty hunting the Prophet ﷺ. So he came and he found the Prophet and he had a sword above him and he said, who's going to save you now? And he said, Allah. And when he said Allah, the power of the Prophet ﷺ saying Allah, the sword just fell from his hand. So he picked it up and he said, who'll save you? Who'll save you? And so we should hold the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor. We shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain, as they say. So people who do this, wallahi, dallahi, billahi, about everything, wallahi, bro, wallahi this, wallahi that. I mean, it's not your younger brother that uses names left, right, and center. Okay, I mean, you should have some respect. And it's a big deal when you use his name in an oath. It requires expiation. And overall, right, it has endless meanings to it, because everything else is actually confined within this name. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain characteristics. He has what we call qidam, right? He is before the beginning. He has baqa. He has subsistence. So one thing is that you were before the beginning, but one thing is that you cannot establish perenniality or continual existence. So that's a separate characteristic. He has wahdaniya, right? He has oneness. He is mukhalifatun lil hawadis. And what this means, he's unlike any. So there's this is sort of like philosophical thing that the philosophers, they use the word hadith, and hadith is something that occurs like hadith. You know, we're familiar with the hadith, and literally that has the connotation of something new. So it's the new occurrence of something in space-time, right? That's something that's hadith. So he's mukhalifat al-hawadith. So all of creation is basically hadith. And it came across from what? From kun fayakun. It wasn't there from it was not there before. Allah brought it into existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is other than that. Right? So our conception of Allah, laysa kamithli shay, and walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There's nothing like him. And he is qa'im bi nafsihi. He exists in an independent existence that's not dependent on anything else. And he has perfection in certain qualities. He has perfection in his hayat. He has perfection in his ilm. He has perfection in his sama, in his listening. Perfection in his basr, in his seeing. He is perfection in his irada. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to do something, it will be done. He is perfect in his qudra. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. So anything he wants, he can do. He's perfect in his taqween, and he's perfect in his kalam. So this is a little discussion on the name Allah.